We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined on this Wednesday, June 16th by Ryan Belongi to talk about Thursday's three-game Euro slate on DraftKings. Ryan, we are in the middle of a slate right now, which I don't even really want to talk about because when I lose, I don't really want to talk about it. I've been up and down, I think, each day. I win and then I give it back and then I win, I give it back. And I told you yesterday that I didn't really feel great about what I was doing and played a lot less volume. And naturally I swept every cash game that I played in. This Wednesday slate, it just wasn't that fun for me, but it's just not that fun for me.
So we're recording this right after the Wales Turkey game finished. I guess if you take everything I said about that game yesterday and sort of just switch the two team names, then it would become more accurate. I ended up fading Wales for the most part, playing a lot of Turkey. Game went sort of the opposite of that. We sort of made fun of Ramsey yesterday. He came out and had the best three chances of the game. Should have scored more than one goal. We were hard on Bale, not really, but we were just not going to play him in this matchup. He did sky that penalty kick. One of the worst penalties you'll see. he had a good game too. Enough with that slate, on to Thursday.
Yeah. So Thursday we've got a three game slate. We were talking very briefly before we started recording, or before we went live here. And so we have this three-game slate, Ukraine against North Macedonia, Denmark against Belgium, and the Netherlands against Austria. So Belgium, one of the favorites of the entire tournament, and plenty of fantasy players that we always like to play. Not that big of a favorite against Denmark. And your question to me before we started was, do you play anyone from Denmark in cash, which is like...
Belgium.
Oh, excuse me, Belgium. Right. Do you play anyone from Belgium in cash? And it was like, of course you do. And then when you actually like go through the salaries and the slate, and you're just like, maybe not actually. I feel like people are going to play them because it feels like we should play them. But like in the context of the slate, like I think we might be going against it.
Yeah. Maybe part of it's the GPP player in me, but when I first looked at the slate and the first question I asked you was, who do we want to play from Belgium? The other two favorites are bigger favorites from them. That aside, even when they play against favorites, we saw last game, the set piece situation is a little murky. Their set piece takers get subbed. They might not be the friendliest fantasy team sometime, or maybe at least not the safest. So, I mean, just when I look at this slate, the first thing that comes to mind is just fade Belgium and you should do okay. I don't think it's as easy as that, but maybe you can convince me of some of these Belgium guys. We'll see.
I think the benefit that you, like, if you played this slate blindly, meaning like you didn't know Belgium was Belgium, I think you'd be perfectly content being like, no, I don't want any, like, why would I take the lowest favorite? Because they're not cheap either. Obviously we know like the dynamic pricing is based usually on favorites, but, Belgium guys have scored plenty of fantasy points, but, I think you're going to see people, it'll be a classic higher stakes versus lower stakes. I think Belgium will be higher on in lower stakes. I do think that the absence of De Bruyne, who, like, I don't think is actually ruled out, but I don't think they're expecting him to play. I think everybody would play him if he was in, but because he's not, and they kind of have this more spread out attack in terms of not being like kind of revolving around him, it actually hurts everybody else because there is no like single guy that you can go to. We talked the first time they were on whether you play Lukaku or Mertens, and we expected Mertens and Carrasco to have the sets, and they did, but they only had two corners, and they're, you know, you can play very dominantly and just not win a lot of corners. You know, the ball doesn't go out of bounds because you have it all the time. So I think that's kind of the argument to not playing Belgium. We'll get into players in a second, but yeah, with Netherlands and Ukraine as bigger favorites, I think you're on the right path there, which is scary.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree with you, I should say, about KDB. Doesn't seem like he'll be fit enough to start. He might make the bench. That was the first place I looked, because obviously if he was starting, then you would have some Belgium in cash, as all of their creative play and set pieces are taken by him. That's a major reason why Belgium doesn't look as attractive, and also the prices. I mean, like you said, they're priced like a bigger favorite, and I don't expect them to just dominate Belgium. I mean, Lukaku 9-9. I don't see how you play him in cash, but I know a lot of people will. I mean, you see 28 points for his first game there. It could have just as easily been like three. He had two good chances, and they were both gifts pretty much. Let's get into forward. What do you think about forward?
Yeah. So as much as we said it on the last slate that the Netherlands were on, like, Memphis Depay is not expensive enough. So even at 11,000, I think everyone has him in cash. They're the biggest favorite. He takes their set pieces. You see there, he's got the highest anytime goal score on it's in the slate. It looks a little, Bruno Fernandes for Man United esque. I think everybody has Memphis.
Him in, right?
What's that?
Just lock him in, right?
I think fading him in tournaments may be enough to of a differentiation that you're like fine otherwise, which is kind of
fading him in tournaments, yeah, definitely. I meant, yeah, just lock him in for cash. Like you said, he'll be the most popular and rightfully so. Tournament wise, it definitely paid off to fade him last slate. We spoke about that a couple days ago, and you're right. He's going to be very popular in tournaments. Just fading Depay is likely enough to get to be different on this slate, because I would say that there isn't like a lot of just obvious chalk besides him, or like places that you just like are sure you want to go. So yeah, I think you make a good point. You don't have to do anything crazy on this slate. You could just fade to pie.
Yeah. The slate is completely different than what we would have expected it to be, you know, a month ago. Like if we had Depay, De Bruyne, Eriksen.
Ooh, there would have been some decisions.
Right. You try to jam all three of them in and you're like really trying to justify these, you know, $2,500 defenders and $3,000 midfielders just to fit them in. But now that we don't have it, like, I think part of the reason why fading Depay puts you in a different position immediately is because you save so much salary. It's not like you're plugging in another 11K guy. It's like, now you actually have more money to play with elsewhere. So yeah, it's like, he's like the poster child of the lock in cash and reasonable fade in GPV.
Definitely. And yeah, the path to fading him, like I guess it's easier. I'm basically talking to myself here, but like he can get you, you know, 12, 13, 14 floor points. And you might like think you want that, or like you don't want to fade that for tournaments, but that's fine. Honestly, like at that price tag, you can easily overcome that. A lot of times, like I'll get stuck, like overexposed to the guys like him, like the smash plays like him with high floors, like just thinking that it'll be okay, even if he gets, like I said, 10 to 15, but a lot of times it's not, especially with how popular he's going to be.
I think the biggest thing you have to fear with Memphis is a goal, because we were talking the other day, like, well, I guess Lukaku scored twice, but like, he's probably a bad example because he shoots so much, but like a lot of times Lewandowski was the example, was if he scores and you have to fade his 12 to 15 points, like you're probably okay. A Memphis goal probably means he's scoring like 25. And so that's a little tougher to get over.
Right. A Memphis goal, you're in big trouble. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, if he doesn't score, you're probably okay.
Yeah. Yep. And a reminder, he has the highest anytime goal scoring odds of anyone on the slate. So,
yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, obviously I don't think we need to say this, but like in a vacuum, if you were just like playing this slate against yourself or even small field tournaments, like Depay is a great tournament play. You can get different elsewhere too. If you think like the Netherlands is the biggest favorite, if you're convinced he's going to smash, go ahead and load him in. There's plenty of other places to get different too. It's just, where you want to get your leverage, and I guess how you feel about each of the games tomorrow.
Yep. So the question you presented to me at the beginning or before we started was like, who is this second forward? And I think you go to Ukraine. I don't really like the Denmark forwards were a conversation for this slate they were on previously because the forwards on that slate were so bad. But like playing against Belgium, like I'm not even looking at them, at least in cash. And then it's like, do you want to go with a Netherlands stack up front? And it feels like they have to just crush Austria for that to work. I'm probably not playing a forward from North Macedonia, which apologies to them, continues to sound like just a fake country that they let in. So you got to play with one of the Ukraine guys who seem like all worked out in the first game, right?
Yep. Agree 100%. I didn't think this was going to be the guy I would end up on as the second forward. But I think, like you said, just by process of elimination, we're not going to play Denmark or Austria or North Macedonia. Belgium, I guess. Can quickly mention Mertens. He was like a chalky-ish cash play on the last slate. His salary has gone down 900.
Yeah.
Definitely makes him slightly more appealing. I still don't think I'm going to go there. Like you said, Ukraine. It's not a normal. This isn't normally a player we think about in, for cash, but Yarmolenko went 90 minutes in the first game. He should get peripherals, all kinds of them, shots, crosses, shots assisted. He has goal and assist upside, decent price, and Ukraine's a pretty decent size favorite. I think you could do worse than going there.
You like him more than Yarmchuk?
I mean, the $900 price difference is nice. I wouldn't say that I like him more, but based on that, probably.
Yeah. Mertens definitely jumped out at me, actually, like under 8,000 in a, you know, when they're favored without De Bruyne, like seems like the time that you would play Mertens. Mm-hmm. If you told me a while ago that I was going to be playing a Euro slate and I was going to think that spending $300 less for Yarmolenko versus Mertens was like the right idea, I would have thought you were nuts. But I think the most surprising thing from that first Ukraine game is that Yarmo went 90. Like, yeah, if you told me he hasn't gone 90 since the, you know, 1994 World Cup, then I would have believed you.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. Obviously, he's a little bit older. He's had some injuries. He's not used to playing big minutes for West Ham. Right. It was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, I'll let you, if you have more about Yarmolenko, go ahead. But I just was thinking too, I sort of wrote off Austria, but Sabitzer 7,100. I don't know. What are your thoughts on him too?
He's one that like, I wish I played in that first slate, and didn't get around to him.
Probably just
I
doesn't.
Think he's okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he's okay, but probably just doesn't make sense as like, as the same price as Yarmolenko.
Yeah, I think the way that you look at this slate is like how invested you are in set pieces. Mm-hmm. Because of those three guys that we kind of mentioned, or four if you even include Yarmchuk, like Mertens is the only one who's taken set pieces and you took one, and he probably doesn't have a monopoly. I mean, we know he doesn't. And so I think people who really, really overrate set pieces will still go to Mertens. But I think the other guys are fine.
Yeah, no, that's a good point in general. At least for me tomorrow, I'm not even going to consider Belgium set pieces for cash or tournament. I mean, they really don't matter. I mean, you're hoping your guy gets like four or five, like that seems even like a stretch maybe. I don't know. So like, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Yeah. I started the build trying to see like if it was even reasonable to play Mertens and Carrasco. And then like the more you go into the slate, you're just like, I'm really handcuffing myself here into something I don't want to do because taking two players to lock up, you know, let's even aggressively say they get eight corners. Like, they're not, you know, that doesn't mean they're all crossed and it doesn't mean I'm going to get enough out of those. And the fact that Ukraine and Netherlands are bigger favorites, I actually, just the way that the Netherlands played, like, even if they're favored to win, that they look perfectly content giving up goals. So, like,
absolutely.
That was fine.
Yeah, absolutely. That's sort of what I thought just when I looked at Sabitzer's name, that just Netherlands, they can be favorites, but they're going to give up chances and goals and peripherals. I mean, it looks that way. I mean, I think we kind of figured that even before the tournament. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I don't think there's like an obvious pay down option. Like the Denmark guys are cheaper, but they should be because they're playing against, you know, one of the better teams in the tournament. Yeah, I just don't think it's a slate where you can pay down, certainly in cash. GPP, it just seems like you're going to go with North Macedonia or Denmark.
Yeah, certainly in cash, I'd agree with you. Doesn't seem like a spot to pay down. The pricing, I guess, leads you to look at North Macedonia and Denmark. Their strikers are under 6K. Well, not all of Denmark's are, but they have some under 6K strikers. North Macedonia, I felt a little bad after the first podcast, just disrespecting them so much. They have some capable players that play in big leagues and even some up-and-coming young talent. We saw Netherlands do whatever they want against Ukraine. Not like that's a comparison at all, but I wouldn't have any problem going to the North Macedonia guys. I would assume they create some chances.
Okay. All right.
For tournaments.
Right. Right. I don't think, I mean, we'll get to their set pieces in a minute, but yeah, I don't think there's like a reason to like go overboard to avoid them or it's really just Alioski. I don't need to hide that anymore, but we'll get to him in a second. But yeah, so paying down at forward, I think is just not worth it.
Those guys are options. But it's not like something I'm excited about doing. And I don't see it as some like great leverage opportunity. They're in play though. I mean, obviously they can score.
If you play Sabitzer, do you try to get a Kolodziej with him, or are we too scarred from the fact that he came off early?
Yeah, I don't know that you need to pair underdog strikers.
When you put it like that, that kind of answers the question.
You can, but like this doesn't really seem like a slate to do it. I mean, it seems like a lot to ask. Yeah, you might say that, well, if they score a goal, it's likely to be assisted from someone. True. You have to make a lot of combinations of bad lineups if you want to make sure to hit that, for one. The guy who assists the goal still might not get there, still might not be, optimal. So I don't necessarily love playing or pairing them. You can, but I think you just need to play one. They'll be low enough owned.
Makes sense.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Move into midfield. It seems like another slate where we got a ton of guys. I guess it's every day where we have a number of options that you can go. And it feels like there are a lot in different price ranges, which makes it even easier. Depending on what you decided forward, you kind of have guys you can play. Is Malinovsky too expensive, or is he just right?
Malinovsky, yeah. That was the biggest question for me too. I just wanted to say quickly just about that Austria Sabitzer thing. Maybe that's not the greatest advice. I rarely stack games, and like it might be a leak. Like it's always possible that like one game can sort of shoot out. Like it's not out of the realm of possibility for a 4-3 game where it's just up and down the field. And we've seen like most of the time the games have been low scoring. So you can do that. I don't mean to write it off so much. I just don't normally stack games like that, but it is viable. Back to midfield. Yeah, Malinovsky. I think you just play him. Yeah. He might be a little too expensive. He also might not be. The matchup's good. There doesn't seem to be like that much opportunity cost. Again, if you're higher on the Belgium guys than me, you would have a tougher decision. Obviously, they're in play too. But I'm leaning Malinovsky. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he definitely fits. Because, like I said before, like we don't have De Bruyne. We don't have Eriksen. Probably not playing Lukaku. So you kind of have Salah to play with. I mean, he's fundamentally like the set piece taker for the biggest favorite. So like that's that's usually a guy who is popular in cash, like regardless of price. He's not this like huge crosser, but he's the guy that Ukraine has over dead balls. And so that in cash, I think people are going to go there. But I actually feel like in GPP, it's a little too boring. But maybe I am just expecting more out of the other guys if I for tournaments at least.
No, I think you hit it on the head. GPP, he doesn't look so good. It's like, yeah, it's even what made me like think about him hard for cash, because he's not like attacking, at least in the formation that they use, but also they, you know, they were the underdog, but he plays a little deeper. You're right. He doesn't just pump in crosses. Like his value is going to be set pieces and probably shots assisted. And I guess it depends on, I guess the flow of the game, but you're right. I don't think he's the greatest GPP play. I would rather target goals. But for cash, I think it's safe, and I think you can just afford it pretty easily with some of the other cheaper pieces that we'll talk about.
So do you think 6,800 is a good price for an underdog center back who's classified as a midfielder?
That's the question, huh? 6,800 David Alaba, after he tilted about 75% of the DFS community when he started at center back after never having played there before.
Central center back, like
central center back, right? Not even on the left side of a three to maybe pick up a few peripherals.
Nope.
To answer your question, no, I'm not going to prioritize him. I really hope they don't use him there. Like they shouldn't. They need some creativity and something from somewhere, and it doesn't make sense. That was weird.
They can't possibly do that again. Means that that's the line of thinking that you need to have if you want to play him. Because you're just right. Like, I'm not going to pay $6,800 for a center back, but like they're probably moving him back to the midfield where I would play him. So that's it. But like, there's definitely a chance he's still there.
There's definitely a chance he's still there. Yep, absolutely. It scares me off of him, I'll tell you that. I would assume that a lot of people feel similarly, and he might be he's probably a decent tournament play. You wouldn't necessarily think of Alaba that way because he's not someone that maybe has the most upside, but if he gets the right position change, he probably has quite a bit of upside, being that he takes almost every set piece, sometimes every set piece. It's not out of the realm of possibility that he makes a free kick or that he plenty of chances for assists. It's one of those good risks that probably has more upside than it should.
I think the biggest difficulty playing as that in that center back role is just like he didn't take a single shot. And he's just so far away from the goal that like the random long range shot is even longer when he's playing back there. And so he becomes assist dependent for upside, which is never that fun.
Yeah. Like I guess if I wasn't clear, if we know that he's going to start, I don't know how we would know, but if we knew that he was going to play center back, there's no way I would play him.
Okay. Do you play Jensen, who may be taking the set pieces for Denmark, in Eriksen's spot, if we're going to continue to talk about underdog set piece takers?
Who else would take the sets?
Højbjerg took the penalty, but I don't think he's...
Yeah, Jensen came on and started racking up the corners. 4,900. Denmark are the smallest of the underdogs. I think for cash, you can go there. You don't really need upside in that spot for that salary. There's probably a few other options in this range and maybe cheaper that we'll talk about, but I think Jensen seems pretty safe. What do you think?
I think you basically compare him to Alioski. And it's whether you want to have. So do you want to have North? I mean, you could have both because you don't, you know, if you play one of Malinovsky or Alaba, then you still have the utility to play one of those guys. Or if you don't, if Alaba is clearly a center back, you don't want to play him, like you could play both. And that's, you know, for those three, that's pretty cheap set pieces. You're not getting Belgium set pieces, obviously, but you're basically getting everyone else.
Yeah. I think that build makes a lot of sense. I was looking at that three midfielder build, Malinovsky, Jensen, Alioski. About Alioski, so North Macedonia had no corners last game. That's fine. They should have some this game. And Alioski, we think, is going to take most or all of them. Barty takes a lot of free kicks in Spain, and at least on the broadcast yesterday, they mentioned his free kick ability quite a bit. He's not going to steal them from Alioski, but he'll take the shots, I would assume. I'm just saying, like, if you're looking like a reason to not play Alioski, I guess, reason to play him, he should whip crosses in from open play plenty, playing on the wing where he does. He takes shots. He should play 90 minutes. He's, I would say, yeah, he's definitely one of their marquee players, one of their star players, one of their leaders. They're going to want to, obviously, this is like a big game. They're going to think they have a chance. I think he's fine. Yeah, I think you could make an argument, him or Jensen, if you told me one of them is better than the other one, you know, it'd be hard for me to argue with you.
That's fair. Are you going to pay $7,000 for Wijnaldum?
In GPP, yeah. So I remember last podcast, I kind of brushed you off when you brought up Wijnaldum. This time, and going forward, I think you can always take shots on Wijnaldum. I mean, he just takes shots, literally. He had five shots. He had five shots against Ukraine. He's basically like playing forward, I mean, a lot of the time. He's always involved in the attack. And he's just always like where chances are happening. So absolutely, you can take a shot on Wijnaldum. You can pair him with Depay. You can pair him with Weghorst. You can play him on his own. Great tournament play, I would say. Now I've definitely changed my stance. I'm not sure about this. It'll be interesting to see tomorrow, but I want to know where people are as far as if they're playing him or not. It'll be interesting to see his ownership, but 7,000, like, it's actually not that expensive, even though you're not used to seeing Wijnaldum that high. So yes, I do like him for tournaments.
Yeah. I think he's trying to make up for all the times he's not allowed to shoot at Liverpool. And so he's just getting them all out now, but he's like a clear example. And Alaba is kind of like this too, of guys who just play completely differently for the national team. Wijnaldum just happens to be significantly higher upside. At least as long as, Alaba plays center back, but yeah, I don't think he'd touch him in cash, but yeah, in tournaments, I think he's great.
Agree.
Yeah. So were there guys cheaper than Jensen that you were looking at? Because you mentioned kind of cheaper midfielders.
Yeah, one. I mean, there's probably more, but one that really stands out. 3,200 Shaparenko. He's taken some sets in the past. That doesn't matter, but actually I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. It matters. Malinovsky's left footed. There's a chance, but also, I mean, at least according to our projected lineup, he's in there and in an attacking position. 3,200 seems like a great one to be honest.
Yeah, and we'll get that lineup first too. So
yeah, I mean, to be honest, those are the guys I look for. I mean, those guys in really cheap upside on a favorite. There's guys that you want to pair them with. You know, guys like that are more appealing when there's a lot of expensive guys you want to play. And there could be on this slate, if you want to pair Depay and Lukaku, man, then that 3,200 looks really good. So definitely look for him to start. Is there anyone you were thinking of?
Not really. Like, nobody really jumped out. That is a good one. I think, I think that's probably the only one. And thankfully, we get it right away. But we were just talking about how, like, for cash at least, like, you can play him in cash.
I agree.
Because of that price. Like, there is that small issue, the opportunity cost, where we're like, you know, if you want to play Alaba or Alioski or Jensen, like, somebody's getting cut if you do that. But at 3,200, like, you might be able to make it up elsewhere. So,
And the opportunity cost, there's a chance that it could be quite small if Jensen and Alioski both score under 10, for example, and they are probably favored to score under 10. So, he's not going to hurt you that much either.
Right. Yep. That's a good point too. I feel like everyone else is just kind of guys. Like, I Thorgan Hazard, if he starts again, like, it's one of those situations where, like, the Belgium guys all look kind of good price-wise because we're used to seeing them so expensive. But I think they're actually priced efficiently for this slate because we probably don't want to play them when we have Ukraine and the Netherlands.
I agree. I'll give – sure, why not? A quick shout-out to another guy that people don't like to play really either on this national team or his club team. But – he's a great player. He's cheap, and he has some sneaky goal assist upside. Not much, but you'll see it once in a while. And there's guys you can pair him with, and nobody's going to play him. And I can't really believe I'm recommending him, but it's Frankie de Jong. I'm just looking for guys that aren't going to play, you know, on a favorite, playing 90 minutes. He's a great player. Not much upside, but seems to, you know, I watched a couple recent Netherlands games, and he'll get in there once in a while, more so than with Barcelona. So I wouldn't hate that. But also, like I said, I still can't really believe I recommended it.
I mean, he almost had 8 points in the first one at 4,600. Like, that's not so bad. But I also can't believe you recommended Frankie. Moving on to defender. You get one of De Jong's teammates that you think was the easiest defender play on the slate. And at 20 points in the first game, Dumfries looks pretty good on that Netherlands wing.
Yeah, he looks pretty good. I did think he was the easiest defender play on the slate. A lot of that had to do with Dumfries. A lot of that had to do with their not being anyone else that you probably really want to play. Dumfries, you said it. He was playing forward a lot of the times. I mean, he's wing back, but he's legitimately the highest player up the pitch with Depay and Weghorst. He should have scored more than one goal, actually. He scored a nice goal, but he had some clear-cut chances in the first half. Seems like pretty clearly the best defender for me. I guess those type of defenders that are expensive that don't have set pieces maybe aren't who you normally look to in cash. Sometimes you think of those guys as like GPP plays, but on this slate, he looks like the cash play too.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And frankly, like 5,700 is not that much. Like, this, it's not like 8,000 Trent Alexander-Arnold or, you know, 7,300 Lucas Digne. Like, I think his price is fine, like not overly expensive. And we're not really getting set piece defenders on this slate anyway, even though Alaba is technically playing one. I'm not going to give that up, that storyline. But obviously the Ukraine guys got priced up, Zinchenko significantly, playing as a midfielder. Do you think people like rush to Munir if he starts?
Yeah. I mean, that's the guy, the other guy we definitely need to talk about. He's definitely going to get some ownership. And he could be a pretty decent play. He's cheaper than you normally see Munir. Yeah. It's definitely risky for cash. But another guy who's, you know, basically playing forward a lot of the time. So yeah, we saw him have a goal and assist off the bench, 4,800. I mean, people are going to go to him for all those reasons. He's on Belgium. All of that should give him some ownership. What do you think about him?
I mean, does he even have to start for us to play him?
Well, not if you're awesome, though. yeah, I think he has to start for cash purposes. That'd probably be too big of a risk.
Yeah, I'd say the guys that I love playing off the bench are defenders for their goal upside.
What do you think, though? You think he'll probably be popular-ish, right?
I think Dumfries is a better play.
Me too.
Like, price considered, too. I think he's a better play. And so playing both of them, you can do it. I don't think the lineup is as nice if you pay up for both of them. But yeah, I think they're fine. Like, I think the ownership will be much closer than it should be. And I'll probably end up on Dumfries first, just cause I like the matchup better. Daniel Voss from Denmark played pretty well. However he says his last name. He was one that actually like broke my projections. Like, he was like, it looked like an outlier. And then I saw his final line and I was like, oh, we got one right.
Okay, nice.
But I'm not sure I'm paying 4,700 for him against Denmark. I'll put it that way. Or excuse me, against Belgium.
Yeah. Both of those Denmark guys, the prices are okay. You're right. You're not like jumping to play them against Belgium. I think they're fine for tournaments. Defender is, yeah, there's not a lot of guys you want to play on the slate. And those guys both get involved in the offense. Wass especially, like you said, worries me a little that he got subbed after 75 minutes. He really would have smashed if he played the full game. But, yeah, I think you can go there. Not for cash, but I don't think people are really going to be playing those Denmark guys, so you could get some leverage there.
Yep. The Austria ones are – or at least Ulmer is really cheap.
Ulmer's really cheap.
Deservedly cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Just watching that game, I hate to go off one game, but he was not getting forward much. I mean, he was struggling to put balls in. I mean, he looked all of, I think he's 35. He looked all of that. And yeah, against Netherlands, 3,600 is fine. He's still playing fullback, but it didn't seem like there's much upside there. And in this matchup, it doesn't seem like there is either. Go ahead.
That seemed like the perfect situation where they should just switch him and Alaba. And like Ulmer should just stay back and worry about that and let Alaba attack. And
absolutely. Nope. You should be the coach of Austria, Andrew.
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. I mean, stuff like that, it really seems pretty, it seems pretty simple. Yeah. That's one of those situations where I think it's fine, but I'd almost rather play a center back. I don't know. At least in tournaments.
Yeah, I think this is another slate where if you just pay all the way down for a center back on a favorite, like, you're fine. Mm-hmm. I know, is it Vertonghen who got banged up? Yeah, I think he did. So if he doesn't start, you know, we could get Boyata at 2,800, Denier at 26. Like, they'll have a cheap center back. They're favored. That game's not supposed to, you know, that has the lowest total of the three. So, you know, I think that's fine. Obviously, you're hoping for 2 to 3 points with the clean sheet, as I got my second consecutive defensive Cavani today with
Ben Davis. Ben Davis? Ben Davis?
It wasn't even Davis. It was
Mapham or?
Yeah, Mapham.
Yeah.
2.7 or something with a clean sheet.
Defensive Cavani. Negative points, but the clean sheet takes him back into positive.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like that. Those are the players you want to try to roster.
Yeah. Raitala started it. He didn't even have a yellow in the first game, although he almost had a huge game today.
He did. So he played well.
Yeah. Maybe Mepham's the next one. But yeah, I don't think there's any other defenders that like, I think if you're not at the top, there's plenty of reasons to literally like go all the way down and just find a favorite.
Yeah, I think so too.
Unless you want to make an argument for Patrick Van Aanholt again, if he starts.
Oh no. I did that to myself the other slate. I wouldn't recommend it. I can't put other people through that pain.
He shouldn't start anyway.
It seems like Wendell is going to start, right? Oh wait.
Yeah, Wendell and Dumfries is like that. Those are fun guys to have out there.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that's who I would expect to start. Yeah, no, I mean, can't recommend any of these guys above any of the other ones. The cheapest fullback for a favorite on the slate is Mika Linko, 4,200. I mean, whatever. Like, you know, these are just
Didn't
guys.
Did you play him on the first slate?
I played him on the first slate. Yeah, 3,400. He did okay, 5.2. As an underdog, so don't hate it. But yeah, these are all just guys.
Right, right. Are you paying up for a goalie?
Okay, I don't know, but I think goalie is a conversation on slates like this. So, reason being, we've talked about all these midfielders and said how they're really not that great. And there's different options also. There's not like guys that you have to play or want to play. The same is probably true about second forward. The same is probably true about second defender. So normally when you pay down at keeper, you're doing so because you want to use that money. If you can make a lineup that's just as good and still play the goalie who's likely to get a win and maybe a clean sheet when people aren't likely to do it, it seems like those are the spots to take. I like taking those spots, especially recently, as we've sort of touched on. People don't play expensive goalies nearly as much anymore. So, yeah, when the rest of your lineup doesn't become worse by doing it, I have no problem with it.
Do you think there's one that people pay up for specifically?
I was going to just say Stecklenburg right away. And I mean, yeah, probably him just because they're the Netherlands. But when you see North Macedonia as an opponent, that looks okay too. I'll play both those guys in tournaments. I don't know about for cash, but I think it's in play in cash too. Like I said, if you're like struggling to, or if you're like trying to force yourself to spend money somewhere, the same goes for, you know, just I guess blindly playing a $2,800 center back. I mean, you got to do something with that money. If you're not, get a few more points from a defender that costs more. I mean, that makes the difference a lot of times.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think Bachmann for Austria has the highest save upside against the Netherlands?
Yeah, that's a good shout. I do. And that's, you're right. We look for save upside. Depay's going to take shots. Like we said, Wijnaldum's going to take shots. Weghorst is going to take shots. I like Bachman for the save upside. Dmitrievski probably has some too. Ukraine mm-hmm. has guys that take shots. Both those guys seem fine.
Yeah, I mean, they're both fairly cheap, so.
What do you think? Where are you? You have like a lean at goalkeeper?
I think I was more likely to pay down than up just because I wasn't sure like how low I wanted to go on these midfielders. But like if you play, who was the Ukraine guy? Stepanenko?
Shaparenko.
Shaparenko, excuse me. Like if you play him, then you should just pay up. Like I think that's actually where you use it. I don't know if like doing a second expensive defender, if you play, you know, I don't know if you play like Dumfries and Wijndal.
I played around with that too. It's an option, but you're right. I don't know if you do that.
So it's more like if you have one or two punts in your lineup, then you probably should pay up at goalie. Cause like we were saying, like there's just not a ton of spots to pay up. There's no jamming in De Bruyne and Eriksen and Memphis. So just kind of use that money wisely.
One thing sort of giving me some caution is that the expensive goalies and their teams aren't like guaranteed clean sheets. Like
Netherlands, certainly not.
Right. Like, you know, and I shouldn't even say guaranteed, but like, you know, favored for clean sheets, like, you know, Spain was against Sweden, or, you know, like England is going to be against some of their opponents. It's not like that. So it's riskier. And when it's like that, it leads me to pay down at keeper as well.
It does seem like Courtois, I mean, we were saying that like Belgium's is like the lowest favorite. According to this cheat sheet, they had the lowest clean sheet odds, but maybe it's just the fact that I think Denmark without Eriksen is going to struggle. And so maybe I'm a little higher on the Belgium defense. Like I feel like I'm more likely to play Courtois than I am Stekelenburg. That's also some Frank de Boer negativity.
No. I think that's a good point too. I like going to Courtois. I think it's very reasonable to think Denmark are going to struggle to create chances and struggle to score. So definitely like Courtois. Also he's the third cheapest, and Belgium are probably the best team. So that's always something to consider too.
Right. You are actually getting the goalie from the best team. They just happen to have on this slate, the kind of supposed worst matchup among favorites. So I think I prefer him probably over the Netherlands or Ukraine guy. And it's probably because they had five goals in their matchup earlier. So, I'm thrown off, but all right. If anybody has any follow-up questions for me or Ryan, you can find us in the RotoWire Discord, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to join that. If you're not a RotoWire subscriber, as always, you can try us for free for 10 days. Just go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. Gets you access to every sport we cover at RotoWire, as well as that subscriber Discord chat. So definitely take advantage of that. Ryan, thank you for that, and good luck on Thursday.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.